الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, respected ulama ikram, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the middle of the ayat relating to Ramadan and Sawm and fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed and revealed and placed this ayah where He said jalla jalaluhu, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, when my slave asks about me, I am close to him. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the term عِبَادِي, my slave. فَإِنِّي قَرِيب. When he asks about me, I am close to him. وُجِبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. And when he asks me, let him ask me, when he asks me, I listen to it, I give it to him. فَلْيَسْتَجِبُوا لِي. So let him obey me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Let him have faith in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. So that he may be rightly guided. I remind myself and you that first of all, the placement of this ayah itself is a pointer to us. Because this ayat is placed in the middle of the ayat relating to fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He say is the purpose of fasting? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So that you become people of taqwa. And if you think about it, who is a person of taqwa? I explained to you yesterday the connection and relationship between khashatullah, khushu and taqwa. A person of taqwa is the one who is aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. Constantly, 24/7. Now obviously, when that person is aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life constantly, what is the first thing he is going to do? He will talk to Allah. He will ask Allah. He will do ruju' ila Allah. He will orient himself and he will concentrate and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all that He has given him. He will focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever he wants. He will focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any difficulty that he might have. Because if he is constantly aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously he knows that لا نافع ولا ضار إلا الله. There is no one who can benefit and no one who can harm except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Nobody has any strength and nobody has any ability and nobody has any capability of doing anything good or evil except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happens, happens with the will and of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows this because he is a muttaqi. And the constant thing in his mind is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. So naturally this person is oriented towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he is there, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises him and he says, I will give him. Uduni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will give you. But as I have said many times before, the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever promises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, He made them conditional upon our actions. So in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so then if he is aware of me, and if he asks me, I will give him. If he asks about me, I am near him. Just think about that. If a person is inquiring about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, I am close to him. The action or just the thought of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself gets a person close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inni qareeb, Allah says, I am close to him. And obviously, if you are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put two conditions. Let him obey me and let him have faith in me. My brothers and sisters, I've said this many times before, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this thought to become firm in my heart and your hearts. That faith means not to worry. Faith means not to worry. Faith means not to make preparation. Do you have faith that you will get breakfast today? Tell me. So how many of you are cooking your own breakfast? Do you have faith that you will get lunch today? So how many of you are planning to make some lunch? And you know and I know that Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Ibrahim bhai and Raisa and his whole family. May Allah bless them. SubhanAllah, the entire family is mobilized to make this thing happen. And may Allah bless them with the best of the best in this dunya. Wal akhirah, inshallah. But you know and I know they are humans. So between now and lunch, may Allah protect them from every kind of harm and difficulty. But between now and lunch, any number of things can happen where you might be in a situation to say, well, you know, where is lunch? What happened to lunch? And nothing catastrophic needs to happen. Just the van getting the food might have a breakdown or something. Wallah alam. So our faith in somebody means that you will do nothing. If you do something, it means you don't have faith. Stay with me in this. I will explain. I know all the doubts that are in your mind, not because I have some kind of kush, because I had the same doubts myself. So I will explain all of this in the class. I don't want to sit here from now until Dhuhr. But just stick with this. Faith means that you do not do something on your own about that matter in which you have faith on the other person. If I have faith that somebody is going to record this session, I will not bring my own recorder. If I bring my own recorder, what does it actually mean? Tell me. No faith. I do not trust. Fakir said or Muhammad said or somebody said that they will come on time, but really I don't know these guys, you know. So I better make my own arrangements. Now you might say it's a good strategy in this world today. That's a different matter, but I'm just saying, what does that mean? It means I do not have faith that they will do the job. So what is our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So I tell you, I feel so ashamed about myself when I think about this. How can I say I have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he had one day's food in the house, he wouldn't sleep. Give it. Why is it here? Why are those dates here? Give them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is passing away. Last moments of his life. He is in the state of Naza. He is losing consciousness, then he gets back consciousness, and he takes Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She says that there was a bowl of water, he would put his blessed hand in the water and rub his hand, the water over his face. And in one of those moments of consciousness, he says, Aisha, is there anything in the house? She says, Ya Rasulullah, there are a couple of dinars, somebody has given. He says, Aisha, give it away in charity. Huh? If the man goes in 3 days Jamaat, people make an objection. How can he leave his family and go? How did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leave everything completely, bare house and leave the world forever? Aisha, give it away. Now imagine her situation. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. It is not just her husband is dying. Who was that husband? How old is she at that time? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already said nobody can marry the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after him. So she knows that when he dies, she is going to be alone for the rest of her life. And he is dying literally in her lap. He was sitting, his blessed head was in her lap. So imagine her state. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, give it away. Not that she didn't want to give it away, not that she was trying to keep the money. But imagine her state at that point in time. He loses consciousness, he gets back consciousness. Aisha, did you give it away? Where is that money? Ya Rasulullah, it is still here, I will give it away. He loses consciousness, gets back consciousness. Ya Allah, Aisha, where is that money? She says, Aisha, bring that money here. So she brings the few dinar, whatever it was. He said, give it to me. He takes it in his blessed hand and he says, Aisha, do you want the Nabi of Allah to meet Allah in this state? Hajib, I don't know. What deen is this? Are we really on the same deen? Marana, why you? We hold and hold and hold. How much will you hold? You fight against your brother, you fight against your sister, against your father, you put a case of your mother. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holding those few coins in his hand, he says, Aisha, do you want the Nabi of Allah to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this state? Is it haram to have money? Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have haram money in his hand? So what is the problem if he has a few coins? Ajib, my brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand this issue of ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are like zombies. We are like robots. We have nothing inside. We are full of husk. We only look like human beings. We only look like Muslims. I'm not accusing you. May Allah bless you with everything in the good in this dunya wal akhirah. I'm talking about myself. We start a salah, Allah Akbar. Heart is empty, nothing great. Dead piece of stone in the heart, in the chest. Cannot connect. Faith and tawakkul means to have trust. We're standing on the top of the building and he says, jump, you jump. You know there is a safety net. Faith is to take that step without seeing what is in front. Why? Not because you are a fool. People say, should I not make preparation? Of course you should make preparation. Make the best preparation. Make the only preparation which cannot possibly fail. And what is that preparation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you understanding what happened? We are so stuck in this asbab, in this dunya, that we cannot see beyond this dunya. Preparation for us is a bank account. Preparation for us is money. Preparation for us is this and that and this man and that man. That man will die and he can die and he will die. That money, that bank will sink and your money will go down the drain. It has to happen. So what is the preparation? But we said, oh no, this is good preparation. And if somebody says, tawakkalna ala Allah. Inni tawakkaltu ala Allah. This is crack. But the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in his kalam and in the tafsir of the kalam, which is called the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is that message? Tawakkul, 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 tawakkul. Why am I saying this? Because, and why did I start with this ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah? Because this is the meaning of dua. On the first day I told you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us into this world with a job to do for a short period, and then he said, come back. And that is the reason why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam from the Jannah into this world, he gave him the key to return to Jannah. What do you do to a guest who comes to your house, trusted person, and he has to go somewhere and so on, and he can come back, and you want him to be completely free in his mind, when I come back, I don't have to hunt around, where is the person to open the door, is there somebody, will I be able to enter the house, or what do you do to, what do you do for to him? You give him the key of the house. He says, here is the key of the house, please come and go freely, as this is your house, this is your home. You come and go as you wish. You don't have to worry about, you know, will someone open the door or, and so on. Just here's the key to the house. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam into the dunya and he gave him the key to the house. And what is the key to the house? Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. This is the difference between shaitan and Adam alayhi salam. The difference is not, as Maulana said yesterday, the difference is not that they committed a mistake. The difference was their attitude towards the mistake. That is one aspect of this. But this is also the key to Jannah. Why is Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin? Why is it the key to Jannah? Because that is Tawbah. Tawbah is that tool. Tawbah is dua. Tawbah is dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching Adam alayhi salam, the first thing he gives him is sending him into this world, into this dunya. New place completely. He does not know what is in this dunya. He needs something to, he needs resources. What is that resource? Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, I have transgressed against myself. Oh Allah, I have done zulum against myself. Oh Allah, forgive me. And if you don't forgive me, we are finished. So, the tool to get back to Jannah. The resource. Because the moment you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only forgives the sin, but converts it into a good deed. As he promised in Surah Al-Furqan. And then the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes on the individual because he's made tawbah. Dua, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this famous hadith, he said, Ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. He said, dua is the brain of ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. And that is the reason why to ask dua of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haram. Because this is the essence of ibadah. And so therefore see the dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the duas that Allah mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders his Nabi, his Khalil, Ibrahim alayhi salam, to take his wife and newborn baby and go and leave them in a barren valley. They have never been there before. Why would you go to a barren valley for what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him there. They go there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to can I have some water please, somebody? To leave them there. So he leaves him. He leaves them and he leaves some dates with his wife and he turns in a small bag of water and he turns away and goes away. And we know the whole story. I don't want to narrate the entire story because we all know it. And then when he is in a place where they cannot see him, what dua does he make? Rabbi ja'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyyati rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Huh? Allah, the Prophet of Allah, the Khalil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dua that he makes, and even the ayat which relate directly to that incident of leaving Hajar alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam in that place. What is Ibrahim alayhi salam say? He says, "Oh Allah, I have left my family in this place which is Wadi Zi Zara'in. There is no cultivation there, there is nothing there. So that they may establish your salah." Purpose. So that they may establish your ibadah. Dua is to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is to ask only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is resource. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, dua is the most powerful weapon of the believer. If he needs something, he asks Allah and Allah will give him. My brothers and sisters, the key thing is to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to make dua in the Quran. In the ayat of Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. Zakariya alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam is under his guardianship. She's a little girl and very pious and very connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Zakariya alayhi salam is the custodian and the imam of Masjid al-Aqsa. So when he used to go away anywhere, he would lock the room in which Maryam alayhi salam was there for her own safety so that nobody disturbs her. And when he comes back and he opens the room, he sees fresh fruit. Fresh fruit, out of season fruit. And he knows he locked the door, the key is with him. So he asks her, "Ya Maryam, anna laki hada? Where did this come from? What is this?" And she says, "This is from my Rabb. This is from Allah." So Zakariya alayhi salam knows he is a Nabi of Allah. He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent her food from Jannah. So how does he make dua? He goes and stands in his mihrab. He's making salah and he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this dua for us. He says, he asked him, how did he ask him? Nida'an khafiyah. In a small voice. There was a man standing in Masjid al-Nabawi and saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your Rabb is not deaf. You don't have to yell like this. Nida'an khafiyah. Small voice. And then what does he do? See the sequence of things, how to ask Allah. Zakariya alayhi salam first places his own incapacities, his own weaknesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, oh Allah, my hair has gone white. I am an old man. Allah knows he is an old man. But he is presenting it to Allah, presenting himself. Ya Allah, I am an old man. Ya Allah, my bones have become weak. He says, oh Allah, my wife, she is an old woman. She is beyond the age of childbirth. And then he says a fantastic thing. He says, Allah, but you have never refused my dua. You have never rejected my dua. So Allah, give me a waris. Give me someone to carry forward this work of deen. He didn't say, give me a young wife and then give me a child through that wife. Think about that. You would have asked, no? Allah, give me another woman. No. Why? Because he is addressing the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is not subject to his own rules. So the method of asking dua, with piety, with humility, with humbleness, glorifying the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to the extent that we can do, because we only know that much. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi in his tafsir, in the chapter on Surah Al-Fatiha, he mentions the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he said that there was a man who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following words. He said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azim sultanik. He says, oh my Rabb, laka alhamd. All praise and all thanks are only to you. Kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik. In keeping with the grace and the majesty of your glorious countenance. Wa azim sultanik. And in keeping with the magnificence of your kingdom. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the recording angels had never heard these particular words of praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. So they did not know what reward to record for these words. They never heard these words before, so they don't know how do we record this thing. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu knows everything before it is mentioned to him. And that is why anytime you hear these ahadith where there is this conversation, Allah asked the angels, what did he say? The angel said this, and Allah said this. Please understand, this does not mean Allah doesn't know. Allah asks in order to establish a hujjah in favor of his slave on the day of judgment. And that is the reason why. This is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did my slave say? He doesn't mean he does. Allah knows. But he wants the angels to say it, and that is a record on the day of judgment. Ya Allah, your slave praised you in these words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is the issue? They said, Ya Allah, your slave praised you in some word which we never heard before. And we want to know what reward to record for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did he say? And Allah knows what he said. But this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his slave. So they said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, he said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. What should we record for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, record the words of my slave as he said them, and I will reward him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my countenance and in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my kingdom. Huh? Ajib. Who can give like my Rabb can give? It is the shan of Allah to give without counting. It is the shan, it is the glory and majesty, it is the haqq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give without counting. So glorify and magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the words to magnify Him which please Him. And then talk about your own kamzori, your own lack of power, your own lack of resources. And then say, Allah, what do you give me? Because only you can give. Conditions, whatever is in our worldly understanding, has no meaning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No meaning. Say, Allah, give me because only you can give. They throw the little boy, Yusuf alayhi salam, into a dry well. Did you ever think about it? That is why we should reflect on the Quran. We just read. There is a friend of ours in Hyderabad, very good qari, alhamdulillah. He knows all these different ways of recitation and so on, very nice qiraat. So he went to Saudi Arabia once, and people knew he was a qari, so somebody said, please lead salah. So he started recitation, and he was reciting Surah Yusuf. So when the salah finished, and he turned around to sit to make dhikr, he saw one of the Arabs who was sitting in one corner, and he looked very amused. He looked as if he was on the point of laughing. And this imam, he felt that, you know, he's maybe laughing at me. So after a while, he couldn't sort of take it anymore. So he went to him, made salam, and he said, brother, did I do any mistake or something? You know, why are you laughing? He said, no, wallahi, very nice qiraat. No, he said, no, but you are laughing. He said, no, I'm laughing because you put Yusuf alayhi salam into the well and you never took him out. He said, that's the reason I'm laughing. Because we recite without understanding. We don't know what. We suddenly stop the recitation at some point in time and you have mu'allaq now. Whatever is there is hanging in the air. The other ayah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed it. Since you don't know what you said, you don't know what you did, you left it in mid-air now. And somebody who understands the Quran, he says, yeah, Rab, now what do I do? Point I'm making is, we have read the ayat of the Quran that they threw Yusuf alayhi salam into the well. Did you ever think, what happens if you throw a child into a well? Into a dry well, what will happen if you throw somebody? I won't suggest to you that, you know, experimentally, why don't you jump into a dry well and see. What will happen? He will get hurt, right? I mean, he throws from the top, his leg will break, head will break, something will break. No? What broke off Yusuf alayhi salam? So who held Yusuf when he was falling in the well? And this is what Allah is teaching us. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. Musa alayhi salam left in a state of fear from Egypt with the cops after him, death warrant on his head, wanted dead or alive. And he's away for 10 years. Obviously, no means of communication with his family. His mother is there, his family is there in Egypt. No means of communication. 10 years have passed. Musa alayhi salam is now married. He has his own family. He decides to go back to Egypt. He wants to quietly go and sneak inside because he knows there is this problem. He wants to quietly go without anyone knowing so that he can at least meet his family. And he gets lost in the desert, in the dead of the night. And he sees this light in the distance. He goes there. And he sees this fire. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lesson begins, the tarbiyah of the Nabi. Think about this. I mean, just reflect and think about yourself. If you are in that position, what would you have done if you were watching? Imagine you're standing there and there is a sound that comes out, there's a voice that comes out from the bush. Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimi salata li zikri. What will you do? You will turn around and run like hell, because in the middle of the night this voice from there. That's why they say faith is to say salam alaikum, and when you hear wa alaikum wa salam is to still stand there. Tarbiyah of the Nabi begins. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced himself, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to Musa alayhi salam? See, the tarbiyah, this issue of tawakkul is so important. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to Musa alayhi salam? وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ. What is in your right hand, ya Musa? Allah knows what is in his right hand. Why is he asking? Why is he asking? If I ask you now, what is that thing in your hand? It is the cap of the bottle. Are you more aware of this cap now than you were before? He was holding this cap in his hand. It was there. When I said, what is in this hand? What is in your hand? Suddenly cap. The question is to reinforce Musa alayhi salam's connection with the asbab. What is in your hand, Musa? Then Musa alayhi salam explains the fadail of the thing which is in his hand. Ya Allah, this is my asa. That would have been enough, the answer. But Musa alayhi salam, you know, this is something which is valuable. Something. This is my asbab. So Musa alayhi salam is narrating the fadail of this thing. You know, I do this with it. I do this, do that with it. It helps me to rest. If I want to rest, I break some leaves of trees and so on for my sheep. So what is Musa alayhi salam saying? Ya Allah, this thing is useful, beneficial for me. Saha, this is beneficial for you. So throw it on the ground. It turns into a snake. What kind of snake? A big snake and a fast moving snake. Now, those of you who are interested in wildlife, except for one or two exceptions, all big snakes are very slow moving. Boa constrictors, pythons, anacondas and so on are all very slow moving. And vipers and so forth are small snakes. They're poisonous and they're fast moving and they're small snakes. But this one is a big snake and it's fast moving. So now Musa alayhi salam is afraid. Oh, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, pick it up. Allah is a snake. So no, pick it up. Not by the tail, by the head. Pick it up. And the moment he picks it up, what happens? Goes back to his original form. Where is my Rabbul Jamal? Where is he? Tie the camel. Where is the camel guy? Oh, there you are. Okay. Listen. Once this thing happened, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then say to Musa, ya Musa, you don't need that stick, man, throw it away? Did he say this? No. Keep the stick. You want to rest, use the stick. You want to break the branches of trees for your sheep, do that. But understand the nature of that stick. That stick cannot do anything. The stick has no benefit and no harm on its own. It is a stick. The benefit will come if I order it. The harm will come if I order it. Tie the camel with the rope, but remember, it's a rope. It's a dead piece of fabric. Why do you get confused? But should we not tie the rope? If you have faith, that camel will be rooted in that ground until the day of judgment. Tarbiyah of the Nabi. What is the tarbiyah of the Nabi? No faith in the asbab. faith only in the Musabbibul Asbab. Why? Because he is now going to be sent to do a job. He was trying to quietly sneak into Egypt. Allah said, no. The Nabi of Allah doesn't sneak into anywhere. You go there, you loud and clear. Loud and clear. But before you go there, we got to straighten you out and say, connect properly first. No asbab. So Musa alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, the tarbiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't take time. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces, so this is your job, now go. اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَىٰ. Go towards Firam. He has rebelled. And what is Musa alayhi salam? What does he say? Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlu luqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. And he is afraid. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this also, that Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, but I am afraid of this Firam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't worry, Allah, I am with you. Allah is with you. And then in another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that scene. My brothers and sisters, put yourself in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't just read for the sake of reading. Put yourself in the kalam. Imagine, you're talking about Ramesses IV. You're talking about probably the man who was the most powerful human being on the face of the planet at that time. A dynasty which has such wealth that they could have built something like the pyramid, something which is visible from outer space. A dynasty which had such wealth. Imagine what kind of palaces they would have had and what kind of gold and brocade and silver and Allah knows what. And the army of Firaun was famous, the upper kingdom, upper Nile and lower Nile, both the kingdoms under his control, magnificent army. First recorded use of the chariots as a weapon of war. A man who was so powerful that he called himself God. He said, I am God. Na'udhu billah. And Allah is describing this scene. Why is Allah describing all this for us? Allah describes the whole scene. Musa alayhi salam standing there alone. His stick in his hand. Turban on his head. Big beard. Full of dust because he came from the desert. He's wearing a thobe. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Musa alayhi salam had this mishlah, which he used to wear when it was cold. And in the night he would spread it on the ground. He would sleep on it. These were warriors, man. Imagine Musa alayhi salam, the descriptions of Musa alayhi salam, he said he was a very tall, very big man. He was very dark in complexion. And he was a warrior. He was a prince of Egypt. He was trained in warfare. That was part of the princely training. He was a horseman. He was a swordsman. He was an archer. He knew how to fight. Can you imagine? He walks all alone from Egypt to Madian. They say he walked so long in the desert that his shoes completely disintegrated. Tough people. Standing there alone with his stick in his hand. And Firaun in his arrogance. And Musa alayhi salam mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. He says, Oma Rabbul Alameen? Who is this Rabbul Alameen? The arrogance of the man. Who is Rabbul Alameen? What is Rabbul Alameen? And Musa alayhi salam's response, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Rabbi samawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma in kuntum muqineen. How did that come? Because of that lesson in the desert. This stick cannot do anything. This fellow cannot do anything. What can he do? He's a stick. He can't do anything. Just because the stick has got a crown on it, it makes it any difference? No. Stick is a stick. Can't do anything. It's my Rabb who does whatever he does. Dua. So connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua. And as I mentioned, the methods of dua. faith in the heart that only Allah can give. Faith in the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to me real time. He knows what I'm saying. He understands what I'm saying. He knows it before I have said it. He knows it even before I thought about it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in keeping with His majesty and grace, not in keeping with our little fears and so on and so forth. Ask Allah because only Allah can give. My brothers and sisters, I want to end with this. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your coming here, to take this time of yours and make this into the most valuable time of your life, to convert, to use and consider whatever you do here as ibadah, to make you into beacons of guidance for all those you come into contact with, to protect you and your families from every kind of harm, physical, mental, spiritual, to protect you from every kind of danger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you truly wealthy in a way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to be wealthy. Because the real wealth is the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The real wealth is the key to the vault of the bank. It is not bags of money. It's the key to the vault, to everything. You ask Allah and He gives you. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your du'as acceptable to Him. Always, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatika.